This morning we came into the Lord's presence. You know, often we say, I've never felt it that way before, but this morning was very, very special. And it's the worship team's sensitivity that takes us there. It's our response to that worship, how we worship, how we choose to worship, that will enable us to enter in. But it takes an obedient worship team, and we appreciate you guys. We appreciate our ushers. We think you guys are doing a phenomenal job. And the preachers in the church, there's Dave and Frank and Shirley and Josh and a number of different people that have preached in the church. And sometimes we forget to say thank you. Children's church teachers. I can tell you, my wife works herself off silly. If she's not in children's church, then she's, yeah. And the amount of work it takes. We appreciate you, sweetie. Every person, we appreciate you. The others, the half of the worship team gets up and goes and teaches in the children's church. But we need some people to stand up and put up their hand and say, I will come and do my part. I will do my bit so that the weight, isn't the burden is not so heavy on everybody else. So as I came, I thought, oh my word, what am I going to do? The person who was supposed to preach is not... ready, not going to preach. I said, Lord, well, you're in control, you know. And as the prophetic word came out, I knew that what I felt I must speak about was in line. So what did the Lord speak about? He's calling us out of Egypt, surely. Calling us out of Egypt. We must not let the world impact us. The Lord is calling us to a deeper and a deeper place. A place of prayer. It was a flow. And I just felt something... I've preached this before, but in a different way, not in this church. And so I feel it's a different message for this church. I want to speak to you about the different temples, and tabernacles. I want to speak to you. Remember when Israel came out of Egypt, they went into the wilderness, and God gave Moses very, very clear instructions. And he gave beautiful instructions of what Moses was to build. He was to put together a tabernacle. And that tabernacle was made of material and goat skin. And it was a majestic thing. It had all of these things that were representative of God and coming into his presence. And it had the bells and the pomegranates and the purple and blue and what was the other color? Silver. And they were gold-coated things. They weren't idols. They weren't ornaments to worship. It was a place to worship the living God. And his presence was to be found between the two cherubim above the Ark of the Covenant. But what they would do with that temple, when they set it up, it says this in Exodus 40, verse 34. It says, As they dedicated their temple, it says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting, because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and a fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. So it was an anointed place. The Lord's anointing was there. It was a place of his majestic splendor, where the people could come and meet with God. And you know, when Moses went in, it says he came out and his face shone. It shone so brightly that he'd cover it with a veil. The glory of the Lord just reflected all over him. Wouldn't you like for the glory of the Lord to reflect all over you when we go out of here? But I want to what I felt was the tabernacle. You know what they'd do? They'd set it up and the glory of the Lord would settle over it. But there would be a time to move on and they'd pack it up again. And then the tabernacle was no longer set up. It was packed away. And, well, it wasn't packed away. It was packed on whatever, camels and donkeys and whatever would carry it, or the priests would carry it. And it was a temporary structure. It was set up from time to time as the people moved from place to place. Sometimes that's like our lives. We have this wonderful walk with the Lord. We have this wonderful experience with the Lord. And it's like we pack it away in a box. We say, okay, Lord, I'm done with you for now. And I'm going to move on for a bit. And I'm going to go, okay, they didn't move unless the Lord moved. But what I'm painting is a picture of sometimes we move on without the Lord. Sometimes we get involved with our own thing. Tonight we heard about the Lord saying, come out of Egypt. Come out of bondage. But what the Lord is really saying to us is, walk with me all of the time. Don't have a temporary walk with me. Don't have a temporary dwelling with me. Don't have a walk with me that when it suits you, you were in my presence. And then when it doesn't suit you, you pack up and you move along. And then, oh no, I need the Lord. Let me come back. God is trying to tell us that it's time that we started to practice His presence. Have you ever heard of that book, Practicing the Lord's Presence? We need to practice His presence all day long. We need to, all through the day, train ourselves to connect to God from time to time through the day so that we are walking with the Lord all day long. When do our wheels fall off? David's wheels fell off when he wasn't on the battleground. He was on the was supposed to be on the battleground where the kings would go to war. And where was he? He was in his palace looking at Bathsheba, and he fell into sin. But God says, if your eyes are on me all the time, just as we heard this morning, we are the apple of his eyes on us all the time. We need to stay in his presence all the time. And I want to tell you that that tabernacle was temporary. There came a time when the tabernacle was set aside and when a temple was built. And I'll just read to you, remember the story of David? He wanted to build, but God said, no, you can't, there's blood on your hands. What does it take to be in the Lord's presence? What does it take to come into His presence all the time? It takes holiness. We are not able to be holy, are we? But what does it say? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, who became sin for me. We are the righteousness of God. We can be holy, but we need to take hold of Jesus and what He's done in our lives. So, if we go further and we read about the dedication of that temple, it was beautiful. The people just gave. God asked and the leaders gave. And David had provided and the leaders came. To the point that it was so lavish. I spoke about generosity this morning. It was so lavish that they said, okay, you can stop bringing. There's enough now. And everything was gold and gold plated. It was beautiful. It was the most beautiful temple, I believe, that stood on the face of the earth ever. We cannot imagine that splendor. But it was a picture of the temple in heaven. It was a picture of the temple in heaven. It was a shadow of that which was to come. So that which was so full of splendor and so full of beauty couldn't compare. But here it says, and it speaks again. And it came out. Oh, sorry, I must tell you where it comes from. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 10. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And I started preaching or reading up about this, focusing about it. The tabernacle would get packed away. The people would see the cloud or the pillar of fire, but was it with them? It would lead them, it would direct them. But was God in the midst where they could go into His presence? No. But then there was a place that was a permanent structure. They built a temple. It was in one place. They couldn't pack it up. It was too big, too lavish, too massive. And what God is calling us to is the permanence of relationship with Him, a permanence of walk with Him, that we're not hot today and cold tomorrow, and then hot the next day, and then I've got a need, so now I'm looking for the Lord. And then everything's going well, so now I'm forgetting about the Lord. And now I'm on a spiritual high, and now I'm on a spiritual low. God is saying, I want you to walk with me all the time. Amen. He's saying, I want to fill your life with my glory, His glory, so that you can experience it all the time, all day long. Then you can live in continual victory. Who'd like to live in continual victory? Amen. I was listening to somebody preaching, and he was preaching about the anointing. You know, you read about David being anointed. They would anoint the kings with oil. It would be poured out on them. It's the representative of the Holy Spirit. And we get the anointed God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is God working through us. That's the anointing. But the glory is something totally different. The glory fell in the temple. And it was so powerful that the priests couldn't stand to minister. Moses couldn't stand in the tabernacle. The priests couldn't stand in the temple. The glory was so powerful. I've started to pray that the glory of God will fill this church. We need the glory. Because you see, the anointing is God working through man. But the glory is God working. God's presence. God just touching people. The glory, when the glory falls, people get healed in their seats. No pastor needs to pray for you. Nobody needs to help you. God just moves. That's the glory of God. Glory is when people's limbs regrow. It's miraculous. It's a power and presence of God. The glory is when depression disappears like that. Or when you're worshiping God and His presence is so powerful that demons start to flee. That's the glory of God. It's God's personal manifest presence through no man. And you know what happens when the glory is there? Only God gets the glory. No man can say, oh, there's a powerful man of God. Oh, he's so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. No. It's God moving in His own power. We need to be in that place. We were no longer temporary. We were no longer a tabernacle. We want to be the temple. What does the Bible say in the New Testament? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it can't be that this temple becomes a tabernacle and gets packed away when it doesn't suit us and gets taken out when it suits us or on a Sunday morning. And then we pack it away Sunday night and then Monday we're going to live through the week just as we please. Does that make sense to you? We need the glory all the time. We need to live holy lives. And you know what? All of us have got it in us not to be holy. We can lose it just like that. We can act worldly just like that. We get drawn into the worldly things just like that. But God's calling us out. He's called us to be a peculiar people. He's called us to be different youth. He's called you to be different, not like other young people. And there's a price to pay, Josh, you know. I know you know. There's a price to pay for being different. Because not everybody's going to like you. Not all the girls are going to like you. And if you're a girl, not all the boys are going to like you. Because you're not going to want to do the things that they want you to do. That is the when you're living as the temple of the living God. Because there's things that you can't do. There's things that you can't do. As a pastor, there's things I can't do. If I want the Lord's anointing upon my life, if I want His anointing in the church, there's habits and sins in my life that I had to really, really, really struggle against. And I needed to ask the Lord to give me victory. And I still know every single day I can fall just like that. So I need to be on my guard all the time. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. From out of it flow the issues of life. We need to be on the guard all the time. Are we going to be the tabernacle or are we going to be the temple? So I want to take you just quickly to think, and you all know the scripture in Joel chapter 2, where God speaks about the tabernacle, the temple. You see, God's Spirit was poured out on the tabernacle when it was dedicated. His Spirit was poured out on the temple when it was dedicated. But there comes a day when God's Spirit is poured out on you and I. We may have already received it, but we need to walk in that every single day. Joel 2 verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So as the Holy Spirit, the cloud of His glory filled the temple and the priests could no longer stand to minister, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. I'm so glad, Shanae, that you were obedient. Must have taken a bit of guts, eh? Yeah. I want to encourage you. Let the Holy Spirit move through each and every one of you. You know what? No one's going to come down on you. If you're out of line, I'll pull you aside separately afterwards. Or if we need to do some, just point things back in the right direction, we can do that. No offense. But we need to be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. Also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. What does that say? Does it include only old men? Like me? Grumpy old men? Ah, did I say that? Does it include only adult ladies? No. It says all flesh. I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your young men, your maid servants, your young women, your older women, your older men, everybody's got a part in it. I will pour out my Spirit in that day. And then in verse 32, it goes on and says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I want to point out something to you. In the tabernacle, Moses couldn't stand to minister when the glory was there. In the temple, the priest couldn't stand to minister when the glory was there. What does the Bible say we are? We are a royal priesthood. Royal kings, priesthood priests. We are royal priests. We are the priests. This is the temple. When the glory falls, the priest can't stand to minister. Who's the priest? What am I? I'm flesh. No place for the flesh when the glory falls. We need to ask the Lord to allow His glory to fall in our lives so that the flesh can be pushed aside and the Holy Spirit can move through us. Then we'll start to see things happening in and through our lives. Then we'll lay hands on people and see them healed. Then we'll speak a word and we'll see miracles take place. Not just here, but wherever we go. Wherever we go. God is calling us out of Egypt not to be the same. Out of bondage. Out of this life of up and down and messing with the world. To be His peculiar people. His temple. His permanent temple. All the time. Not to go home and the wheels fall off. Not to go to work and people say, "Ah, that oak, he keeps on losing his temper. Oh, no, no. That one, he says he's a Christian, but you must hear the way he speaks. That one, his yes doesn't mean yes and his no doesn't mean no. He can't keep his word." That's not what God's calling us to be. He's calling us to be a royal priesthood of holy children of the living God. Why? Why? Why will He pour out His Spirit upon us? Why will He pour out His power upon us? Who can tell me? Acts 1 verse 8. It says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." When the glory fills the temple, we receive power. Why? "You shall be My witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth." We need the glory in us. We heard about it this morning. God is calling us to be His witnesses. The banner outside says, "I've got a people in the city." There are people that need to hear. It's not my job. It's our job. Not my job. Our job. When we call and we say we're going to go and we're going to walk on the street, we're going to be witnesses. We're going to tell people about Jesus. Some people made decisions about yesterday. They said, "Well, I've got other stuff that's more important." Some people had to work. Some people just said, "Well, we're just going to have fun or we're going to sleep." But people are dying. People are going to hell. And we are keeping silent. There's no glory when we keep silent. "You shall receive My power so that you can be great at lying in front of the TV and watching TV. So you can be great at having fun. So you can be great at making money. So that you can be a great family man." No. You shall receive power so that you can be My witness. My witness. And if ever there was a time when this earth needed witnesses, it's today. If you look around, see what's happening in our country. We need to be the light of the world. Not just some of the time. All of the time. Not just in church. Whenever God needs us to be His light. People are watching us. And let me tell you, God's watching us. We cannot carry on living as though we are the world and call ourselves Christians. We need to live as Christians permanently. All the time. And that's really the word that I have for you. I'll just remind you again in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Doesn't that sound like the cloud of the glory filling the temple? The priests could not stand to minister. The Holy Spirit came upon them and ministered through them. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And what did Paul say? Peter say? He said, this is that which was spoken about in the book of Joel in those days. And then it said, and all who came on call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you see the link to the glory and salvation? And that's what I felt the Lord gave me for tonight. That we must stop being the tabernacle and we must become the temple. The tabernacle didn't have foundations. It was kept there by pegs, pegged into the ground. The foundation is permanent. A built structure is permanent. Build your house on the rock. Let the glory fill the house and become the witnesses of the Most High God. Who would like the power of God to be made manifest, the glory of God to be manifest in their temple? Who would like that? Let's stand together and let's ask the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to fill this temple with His glory. Our Father, as we come to you tonight, we stand in your presence. Lord, your word has taught us that we are the temple of the living God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts that there was a sound like a rushing wind, and the Holy Spirit filled the place where the people were. And Lord, we pray tonight that your Holy Spirit will fill these tabernacles, these temples. Not just some of the time. Not just when we feel like it or when it suits us. But all of the time. We pray for your presence day and night. Day in, day out, 24 hours a day, 365 or 366 days a year. We pray for your glory to be within these temples. That the priests will not be able to stand to minister. That your glory will minister through us. That we will be your vessels. That it will be nothing of the flesh. Help us to be holy and righteous vessels. Make us holy, Lord. And then, Father, I also want to pray that we will be willing. Willing priests. Willing kings. Willing temples. Willing to be your vessels at all times, even when it doesn't suit us. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. I want to just ask you to reach out to the Lord and ask Him to fill you. Lord, fill us with your glory. Fill us with your glory tonight. Fill us. Come, Holy Spirit. We cry out to you. We ask, Lord, fill these temples on a permanent basis. Transform our lives. Lord, it'll take our cares away. It'll take our worries away. It'll give us a new focus. It'll give us a new zeal. Come, Holy Spirit.